all of us who happen to be here, we're all daily communicants, and we all, you know, are engrossed in the Eucharistic life and in union with the heart of Mary. And it's sort of, could I use the word, it's sort of self-satisfying to us, or
I would think
what
so.
Would be the right word?
Think self-satisfying. It is.
We never really felt that it was our duty to go out and approach a neighbor and say, you know, why didn't you become a part of this more intense Catholic life?
It's gratifying.
But I think this is what Our Lady is saying.
You want a little something here, John? I go to the 7:30 Mass. We do it every Sunday morning at St. John the Baptist. And one of our neighbors was there with his wife and never receives communion. And I often thought, why doesn't he go? She goes. And one day I was giving him a treatment on his back. And I mentioned these words to him. You know, I can't understand why some people go to Mass and don't receive communion. And I said, it's just like going to a banquet. And you're hungry, but you don't eat. So he tells his wife. So they were down again the 2 or 3 nights later. And he says, shall we tell him? And she says, sure. He says, I'm not a Catholic. I've been going to Mass for 38 years, every Sunday, with my wife. So he said, when you said that to me, I said it to my wife, why didn't I go? So now he's taking instructions.
You invited him.
I invited him. I said, well, then why don't you become a Catholic? You know. So, and she said at the time when he said that, she says, I told him from the beginning, I'll leave it up to him whenever he wants to come in. And he says, it took me to ask him, come on in.
Beautiful.
It needs an invitation by someone, and that's all it takes sometimes, but we don't ask. We're self-conscious to invite someone for one reason or another. We become embarrassed.
We're really all apostles in a sense.
In a sense, we're all apostles, and it's amazing just by one word that you can just interest somebody in becoming a member of a church or whatever.
And you know,
I don't know. I'll tell you what. I'm in need of this lecture. I'm the last guy to go out and say to somebody, you know, yeah, I'm the last one to go and say, are you wearing this scapular? You know, there's a fellow in Erie, Pennsylvania, Dave Bloom, and I so admire that man. He carries scapulars in his pocket.
I'd like to do that.
And he'll go up to, a stranger, you know, and he'll start talking about the scapular. And, you know, this guy has so many conversions to his record. And the Blue Army in Geary is one of the best in the world, just due to the apostolic character of this man. But why is there so few of us have this? Was it a lack of courage or self-respect or I don't know what it is.
It takes a very little thing. There was a friend of ours, actually, who was very ill with cancer, the cancer of the lung, and she was dying. She was born, she was baptized a Catholic, and she was of Czechoslovakian descent. And I knew that she was very, knew about the infant of Prague. So when she was literally dying, I brought the little infant of Prague, and she kept looking at it, and Father went up to her and asked, I explained to him that she was born a Catholic, and she registered, and she was brought up in the Episcopalian Church, and he went to see her, and she said she wasn't interested, and he went up again, and then when she was really failing, she asked for all the sacraments. She said it was that little infant of Prague that did it. So it takes a very little sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still the people.
Oh, I myself would love to be a promoter of the brown scapular. I feel that there's so little spoken of it today. Jim wears it. I encouraged him to start wearing it again, and thankfully he responded. And I also encouraged a friend who has since started to wear it again. But you see so little of it. You don't see them around. People want them. Sometimes they can't find them. We need to hear about it. Priests don't wear them very often anymore, I don't think. Some of them are unfamiliar with a brown scapular, to my knowledge. I think we need to revive it, have a revival of devotion to the scapular and the rosary together.
In any of these situations that you're speaking of right now, we are often discouraged by the priests. We go to the priest and we solicit their cooperation, and they don't do it.
The bishops, the
priests. You mentioned the four things, four conditions for peace from Our Lady when she appeared at Fatima. We can't really rely on the clergy to express or promote this because of the fact that not all of them are in favor for one reason or another. So again, it comes back to the laity, one to the other, spreading the word, passing it on, and sooner, little by little, great numbers will come to know.
It is interesting to note that just after the conversation you have heard in the reaction to listening to the third tape in this series, Our Lady Speaks, one after the other in the group began to speak of the wonderful priests they knew. It happened that each one felt that the priests in their own parish were outstanding. But it seems that there was something lacking in the seminary education, or somehow the knowledge of Fatima, the knowledge of this appeal of Our Lady, the speaking of Our Lady to today, just doesn't seem to have reached through. The comments were completely unrehearsed and spontaneous, and they are quite typical of comments heard in question periods after lectures and meetings over the past 50 years. The conclusion of the group was that there is a tremendous individual responsibility. At the conclusion of these six programs, Our Lady Speaks Today, we asked the same group which words of Our Lady today are most important. And I think the answer will surprise you. But now, as we near the end of the series, you may wonder why, in a program titled Our Lady Speaks Today, we have not referred to such recent apparitions as Garabandal in Spain, Metsugorje in Yugoslavia, Hrushu in Russia, Nadju in Korea, Drozufka in Slovakia, Coop in Nicaragua, Kebehu in Africa, and so on. This is certainly not because we are of the opinion that Our Lady is not appearing in many parts of the world. Indeed, Cardinal Ratzinger, the prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, formerly the Holy Office, says, and this is a direct quotation of the Cardinal, "One of the signs of our times is that the announcement of Marian apparitions are multiplying all over the world. For example, reports are arriving in Rome from Africa and from other continents at the section of the congregation that is competent to deal with such reports." Close quote. Now, Cardinal Ratzinger is in charge of the most important Vatican Curial office, charged with the preservation and the promotion of Catholic Orthodoxy. Referring to recent apparitions, the Cardinal spoke in great detail about Fatima and the importance of the Fatima message. And of course, we must realize that the Cardinal knows the whole message, including the third secret. And he said, "A stern warning from heaven has been launched from that place, Fatima, directed against the prevailing frivolity, a summons to the seriousness of life, of history, to the perils that threaten humanity." Close quote. Then the Cardinal went on to say that none of these private revelations adds anything, quote, "to what a Christian must know from revelation," that is, the scriptures, "but that the Marian apparitions approved by the Church in their known context reconfirm the urgency of penance, conversion, forgiveness, fasting." Close quote. Now, the Cardinal referred to Metsugorje. He said, "Already millions of pilgrims are going there." He referred to the controversy between the local bishop there and the Franciscans. because of which, in addition to other reasons, the bishop of that diocese has not approved Metsugorje. And responding to the question as to whether the congregation, highest court in the matter, would make a judgment, the cardinal answered. And this answer of the cardinal is the reason why, while we might believe in many of these other apparitions, we do not include them in this series. Quote, "In this area, more than ever, patience is the fundamental policy of our congregation. No apparition is indispensable to the faith. Revelation terminated with Jesus Christ. He himself is the revelation." Now, pay close attention to the following words of the cardinal, prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith. "But we cannot certainly prevent God from speaking to our time through simple persons and also through extraordinary signs that point to the insufficiency, that is, what is lacking, of the cultures stamped by rationalism and positivism that dominate us." And then the cardinal concluded, "The apparitions which the Church has officially approved, especially Lourdes and Fatima, have their precise place in the development of the life of the Church in this century." What His Eminence is saying here is that these messages, especially Fatima, which he underlines, are vital. He says they're like an intervention of God coming to bring light through the darkness which has gradually engulfed the world since the materialistic, atheistic revolution that began in France the early part of the 19th century. I personally find that all the most recent apparitions add little to what Our Lady says to today's world at Fatima and at Akita, already approved by the Church. I was very impressed with the visions in Turzovka in Slovakia, where Our Lady showed a globe of the world in the place of an image of herself as Our Lady of Perpetual Help. The globe was shown without national boundaries, blue for the sea, and the land shown in two colors, lighter for the earth and darker for the mountains. In other words, she showed the visionary the world in bas relief, and suddenly the entire globe changed to yellow, indicating the punishment by fire, which would engulf the entire world if men did not mend their lives. And Our Lady said it would be a worse punishment than the deluge. And she added that it would be especially terrible in the West. Now, to me, the events of Turzovka ring true. But nothing is substantially added to what we have been told at Fatima and Akita, except that the chastisement will be worse in the West than in the East, which is not an essential point. In Naju, for example, which is an apparition already greatly approved, the Archbishop of Kwangju, the Archbishop of the diocese, has found that the visionary is a normal person, and he has agreed that the supernatural events surrounding these apparitions are miraculous. And there, Our Lady stressed reparation, the need for victim souls. There was emphasis on the terrible crime of abortion, and a confirmation that life does begin at conception. And in a miracle of tears of blood flowing from a statue, Our Lady underlined how terrible are the sins of today, crying out to God, and the need for reparation. Again, a great emphasis, but nothing really new. Nothing substantially different from what we have been told at Fatima and Akita. And in all the previous apparitions from 1830, where Our Lady first shed her tears and spoke of the suffering that was going to come upon the entire world if men did not change. That was in 1830. Cardinal Ratzinger says that these visitations of Our Lady are a sign of our times. Times of critical need for Our Lady's voice to be heard. He says Rome is constantly receiving news of apparitions from all parts of the world. And he says to the critics, "We certainly cannot prevent God from speaking to our time through simple persons and extraordinary signs that reveal what is lacking in our cultures due to the rationalism and positivism which dominate us." Close quote. Another way of saying the darkness with which the materialistic revolution which began a century ago in Paris has now plunged our world. You know, we remark that it is really incredible that the miracle of Fatima, the most colossal miracle in history, has had so little impact, especially in a time of such marvelous means of communication. Why? Because our minds have been darkened. The world has lost a sense of sin. And Our Lady is an anxious, loving mother, striving to pierce that darkness all around us. But so far, even the great miracle of Fatima, even the miracle of tears and blood, has not been enough. Elsewhere in this program, we say, we know what we must do. Our Lady has told us explicitly in every apparition. In the apparitions in Slovakia, where Our Lady appeared to a state-employed forester who did not know how to say the rosary, Our Lady taught him how to say the rosary and gave him a rosary and showed him three faults in his life which he should overcome. Very similar to the apparition to the catechist in Coapa, Nicaragua, which actually was approved by the bishop of the diocese, although not in a formal way. We know that Our Lady wants us to take her by the hands and let her lead us out of the darkness. She wants to let the light from her immaculate heart engulf us and cause us to be lost in God and to shed all of the things that separate us from Him. And she is a practical mother, so she puts the scapular over our shoulders, not just a sign of entrustment, but a quasi-liturgical act of entrustment by which the priest accepts us as Mary's special child and we accept her in a special way as our mother. And the rosary by which she herself leads us into the mysteries of Jesus. Mysteries which, by their very force, their very nature, drive evil away. Enlighten our minds and our hearts with the light of the world, Jesus. She needs so little to do so much. But while Our Lady is telling us what we must do, in these various apparitions we get an idea of what Our Lady can do. She performed a great miracle at Fatima at a predicted time and place. And she is saying in some of these recent apparitions that she will perform another miracle. This time, one that will be seen by the world by means of the marvels of modern-day communication. Satellites making a televised image available in every part of the world simultaneously. But even there, we don't need these recent apparitions to know that Our Lady can do this. She did it at Fatima. She can do it again. And if necessary, if we respond, she will. But I must say, before concluding, that personally, I tend to believe most of these recent apparitions. But I have never spoken of them in public because of my position as a leader of the World Apostolate of Fatima, a church-recognized apostolate. And strictly in the spirit of the church and in the advice of the cardinal, that this is a time when extra patience is necessary. But I must confess that I instinctively believed in the apparitions of Garabandal when I first heard of them. And it was a little difficult for me to abstain from ever speaking about them all these years. Because I never thought that when Our Lady performed the great miracle at Fatima, that she went back into the heavens, folded her arms, and said, "Well, now I have performed Pius Chaffisi called the greatest, most colossal miracle in history. And if they don't listen, it's just too bad." No. Fatima was not the end of something. It was the beginning. It was the announcement of the triumph of the woman of the apocalypse. Satan has known since the first original sin that Our Lady would crush his head. He knows that she is going to crush it now. My immaculate heart will triumph when my requests are heard. And that's why Satan does everything possible to prevent that the requests of Our Lady be heard. But as I say, Fatima was a beginning. The opening of a new era. An era unprecedented in Christian history, in which Our Lady obtained from God permission to perform a miracle at a predicted time and place for the first time in history. Quote, "so that everyone may believe." Close quote. So the apparent apparitions at Garabandal, with the prophecy of another miracle, this time to be seen through television all over the world, seemed to me a logical sequence of Fatima. I was particularly excited also because Our Lady had appeared in her final vision at Fatima, the climax of the miracle of the sun, as Our Lady of Mount Carmel holding the scapular from the sky. And at Garabandal, she was reported to appear as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But I had other reasons to believe. Father Pio, a stigmatist of our time, seemed to me a living saint. And one day I asked him what we should believe about those four girls in Spain who were seeing apparitions of Our Lady. And I asked if I should lead a pilgrimage to Garabandal. His answer was, "Yes." But he seemed to lead me to understand only when the miracle takes place. So during the Second Vatican Council, I was in Rome for most of the time, and I was very, very close to the Bishop of Fatima, who was in Rome, of course, for the council. And one day I said to the bishop, "Why don't you ask the Bishop of Santander, that's the Diocese of Garabandal, what he really thinks about Garabandal? Not just as one bishop to another, but as the Bishop of Fatima, of a major apparition, to the bishop of the diocese in which an apparition is reported and becoming known throughout the world. And Bishop Venancio did so. And the bishop of Santander answered with one simple statement, "Excellency, we will wait for the miracle." The children of Garabandal have predicted a miracle to take place on 8 days' notice. And there is no way the church could approve as supernatural events for which the proof has not yet been given. Because the great proof will be that miracle. But the Bishop of Santander was open. He said, "We will wait for the miracle." So I think the 101 Foundation is doing a wonderful service in making known what Our Lady is saying in various apparitions in different parts of the world, doing it cautiously, only in cases where the local bishop shows an openness. And we ourselves must use prudence in measuring what we hear, measuring it against the truth as we know it in the church, and measuring it against what Our Lady has already told us in the approved apparitions. Again, I say, nothing really new is added, but there is an emphasis added, an emphasis on the importance of teaching catechism to children, an emphasis on what major sins are most offending the heart of God and stirring the anger, which is, of course, a picturesque way to put it, because God doesn't get angry, but the anger of the Father, which would necessitate a terrible punishment for the world. Our Lady's voice is clear. She is saying, to soften the anger of the Father, I seek souls to console our Lord. Pray very much the prayers of the Rosary. I am still able to save you from the calamities which approach. Those were her words at Akita. And the voice of Our Lady today is challenging laypersons. We're not saying there is a deficiency on the part of the clergy. We're not saying the priests are not good priests. We are saying what Cardinal O'Hara said, that it appears to be God's intention that, quote, this is something which must come from the people, close quote. We have an individual responsibility. Our Lady is asking us to reach out. The cell movement is the simplest way. The first Saturdays open the path for us to invite persons to come and share in the great promise of Our Lady that those who will make these five first Saturdays will have the promise of her personal assistance at the hour of death with all the graces necessary. And our experience seems to indicate that this promise means a peaceful, happy death. Not just the promise of salvation as made by the Sacred Heart for the nine first Fridays, but a joyous, peaceful death. Is not such a promise enough to get people to come to the first Saturdays and begin to respond? Our Lady is not speaking to someone else. She is speaking to you.